They're loading into the barriers. Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. And they're underway for Moody on the Mic.
Welcome back, Moody on the Mic. Yes, we're back. It's been a long off-season, 2 months in hiatus, back for another year. I think it's our sixth year. I'm Roger Aldridge, and joining me, we're still waiting on one, but we've got Peter Moody and Anthony Mithen with us. Moods, welcome to 2024. Now, we know you get shitty with us occasionally saying you don't want to do it, but you miss us because the stable hasn't been going any good since we've been on hiatus. You need us. You need to get back in the winner's stall.
I do, Roger, I do. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to all the punters out there and welcome to 2024. I hope I can repay the faith by being the leading tipster on the show once again by a country mile, looking after our patrons out there, our guests from Namibia, Uganda, Slovakia, wishing everyone all the best around the world and may we have another successful year of podcasts and bring you a little bit of joy, bring you a few winners and a few of our insights, as raucous as they may be.
Well, you obviously mainly only tip your own horses, so you need to start winning to provide that winning strike rate you've had for the previous few years. Mytho has definitely struggled in that area. Mytho, welcome to you. And how's Rosemont looking heading into 2024?
Oh, no, beautiful green grass up to your knees and everything's Mickey Mouse here. It was a good Christmas, good New Year. I watched Pete from close range and from afar. I didn't get to New Zealand myself. Noticed that he's just, you know, with the common man over there leaning on the fence post, drinking a tinny, you know, buying $1.6 million fillies in New Zealand. You know, he's had a big splash out at Magic Millions. There was $1 million horse or two. But he's a man of the people and he's a boutique stable, so he gets away with it. Pete's just, you know, spent all that money that he made last year.
Are you just shitty that he didn't buy the $1.6 million from Rosemont? That'd be your issue? Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I've had to go out and restock, boys, because as you would have seen over the summer months, we're a bit light on for ammo. So we had to go a shopping.
The Ladbrokes account was looking quite healthy there when we finished, but both from wages and the punt with Peter's tipping prowess and his stable on fire. But what the punteth giveth, the punteth taketh away as well. And it took it all away over the Christmas New Year period. Moods, we were solid though. We stuck with you. We went down with the ship.
I backed Anisa last weekend in the 2-year-old race, and I thought it was quite ironic that it was beaten by a horse called Coleman. But certainly, Anisa does look a likely type moving toward the Blue Diamond. Moves, she pulled up.
Yeah, no, she came through it well. Credit where credit's due. But Coleman, the Pirata colt from the Matty Laurie stable, he looked very, very good in the Chairman Stakes. As the previous couple of weeks, there was a couple of Blue Diamond preview or prelude runners or winners there, and then we've got, of course, we've got the previews.
We've got the preludes this week, and which we're going to have a look at. We're also going to have a look at the All Stakes. Now, the All Stakes is a race that you've absolutely dominated in your previous incarnation as a trainer. You've won 5 in 6 years with Typhoon Tracy in 2010 and 2011, Black Caviar 2012, Moment of Change 2014, and then Dissident in 2015. So the glory days. You don't have a runner this weekend, no? But certainly, hopefully you can at least tip as a winner in it.
Yeah, well, I did nom a 3-year-old filly, but we decided against it. We took the low road with one there. But listen, it's good to see Group 1 racing back. I think we've got a Group 1 nearly each and every Saturday now, right through to the mid-June or something like that. It's quite astronomical, the racing in Australia and the level of racing. Are they all justified, I suppose? Arguable, but there's a Group 1 there to be won and run every weekend and probably on differing weekends, several Group 1s.
Absolutely. Now, we haven't made a cast change in the off-season. Rainman's actually just doing a radio cross as we record. Wanted to record at 9:30. We did that and then straight away said, I've got to do a radio cross. So typical Rainman, we work around him. We've got to ask him some tough questions when he does join us. But in the meantime, speaking of questions, Mytho, can you answer this trivia question from 3AW Breakfast that was on Tuesday? John Anderson does the sports quiz at 6:30 and 7:30 every morning. Can you name the twins who have made their name in one sport whose father is a big name in another?
Oh, that would be, the twins are Bree and Celine Moody. That's the answer to the question.
Well, the answer to the question is Peter Moody. Oh, Celine, yes, no, you're right. The answer is...
It's got nothing to do with him. It's got nothing to do with him. It's about his star daughters that play football like absolute bloody meat axes and run through packs with no bloody fear for their own safety. And they're the stars of that show, and they should get the credit on 3RW, not Buffhead Trainer.
I ring up for that sports quiz often, have won multiple bottles of De Bortoli's wine over the journey. Often don't ring up, don't get through. I didn't know the answer to that question. I was like, my wife's like, I'm not ringing. I said, no, I don't know the answer, Swanee. And then they said, oh, the answer's Peter Moody. You are kidding me.
Can I give a plug to the filly that won yesterday that's headed to the Blue Diamond? She was pretty good, old fire, for Jason Warren on debut. So you may have missed the... It was only midweek racing, I know. I'm not allowed to get excited about it, am I, Peter?
Well, listen, you are, Anthony, no one else is. Like, anyone else has a midweek winner, well, it means nothing, but obviously one that you own and bred down there at Rosemont, and you want to give it a plug and you want to make the numbers up in the Blue Diamond, do you?
Yeah, that's the go. So I couldn't believe it. She won in good style. She was only filly against the Colts yesterday, and it was always the plan to, that race, you win that race, you get enough prize money to get into the Blue Diamond. So that was the crafty plan from Jason Warren and co. And
hang on. Just pull you back a little bit, a minute. So Jason Warren wants to take that filly to the Blue Diamond, or the owners and breeders have suggested to him strongly that, hey, Jason, you've got enough prize money. Why don't you take it to the Blue Diamond and see if we can really head screw this horse instead of going to a nice little fillies group three somewhere and making it a good thing?
No, you'd be proud of me here, Petey. I've been learning and listening with my ears to Peter Moody. And and when he said this is a good filly, I reckon she might be a Blue Diamond series sort of filly. We set out and mapped a clever program. Rather than running in the next race possible, which was the Blue Diamond preview, we just took a deep breath and said, well, why don't we actually just go to that maiden at Sandown? Because the 1,200 will suit her better. That'll win her enough prize money to get in. You don't have to win one of these, you know, big swinging dick previews or preludes to get into the Blue Diamond. You just need to win about 40 or 50 grand worth of prize money. We can do that at Sandown off market and bounce into the Blue Diamond as the fresh horse on the scene at 100-1. And that's what I was getting at. The punters out there need to latch on. They didn't wheel her in after yesterday's win, and she will get a run. And she's 100-1 in a few markets. So I think, well, she was 100-1 on Ladbrokes last night. I know that much because I had a little piece of it.
You famously had one go around in a group one at about 150-1 toward the end of last series in the spring, and it was just basically because you wanted tickets to the races. I think it's free to get in Blue Diamond Day this year, so I just want to know what your actual plan is.
I don't need the tickets, so the punters out there listening can know that I'm talking truth, I'm talking from the heart, and I'm hoping that they can come along the ride, the flyer ride with us, and win the Blue Diamond in a couple of weeks.
Where's his porn star moustache gone over the Christmas period?
I had a shave this morning just for you, Moods, because I know you like me freshly shaven. You don't like the porn star moustache, so I just had a shave just so I'm nice and fresh for our big season premiere ahead of the first Group One of the season this week, the year this weekend.
Well, I'm glad that you did have a shave, Rayman, because we're about to put you under the spotlight, so you want to be looking your best. Now, we need to address the elephant in the room straight off the bat here. Now, we're supposed to be a team, and I'm not just talking about the four of us. I'm talking about the loyal listeners too. We are the Moody on the Mic team as a whole. Now, there is no I in team, Rayman. There is a you in country, and you have let your country down. You've let us down. Where's the merch, Rayman?
Good question.
Moody on the Mic merch. I've got some good news. Obviously, we've had the well-publicised global supply issues. But
which was supposed to be remedied by Christmas last year. It's now February.
Well, you know, maybe one day I will control all the logistics around the world, Rog. You know, I've got that level of upside. I don't just yet, but we've got good news. We've got shipping confirmation. I think before we get to the championships, we'll be handing out our Moody on the Mic t-shirts, and I am very excited about it.
Which championships, Rain Man? Like, we are closely associated with one of the biggest clothing manufacturers in the world in Mitho's brother-in-law, Nigel Austin, and I'm sure we could have arranged a little something if there was shipping problems.
Mate, have you seen those prices? We couldn't afford it. We're not. We couldn't afford it. Odonon's too busy sponsoring tennis players and the Cats to worry about little old Moody on the mic.
So when you said by Darwin, you meant Darwin this year, did you?
Yeah, Darwin 2024.
Right.
Which we won't be invited to anyway after last year. So that's fine. It's not really a problem.
Just as well, because I've had many loyal listeners that are still waiting on their merch. They've emailed me a few times. So, look, as long as we can get it done by the championships and maybe some heading to the championships can represent there, that would be delightful, Rainman. But, frankly, the fact it's taken this long, when we work together on a daily basis, you're always known as a very efficient individual. And, frankly, I'm a bit concerned that you've lapsed since I departed those four walls about 4 years ago.
I can't control these global issues, Rog, but I'm doing my best.
I think your best work is done on the tipping scene, Rayman. So let's take a break and come back and preview a few races for this weekend and see if you can find us a winner, because Moods has promised he's going to deliver.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including bet ticker, yard comment and black book. Ladbroken. What's gambling really costing you?
Time to preview some races now. We're going to start in Sydney. Race 6 at Randwick. Rayman, give us the market for the Eskimo Prince.
Eskimo Prince, an interesting race for the three-year-olds heading towards races like the Randwick Guineas. And there's a lot of quality horses in this. A couple of Group 1 winners as well. But the favourite is Caboolas for the Bjorn Baker Stable, $5 into $4.80. Moravia for Michael Freeman's $5. Griff, the Caulfield Guineas winner, is $5.50. Tom Kitten, the Spring Champion Stakes winner, $6. NCAP for Gary Portelli, $6. Macarena, $7. Celestial Legend, $7.50. So it's $4.80 between $4.80 and $7.50 for the entire field. I think that's about right. I think it's a very, very open race. I think the best horse in this race is Tom Kitten. I think he will be the best horse of this field by the end of the autumn campaign. Whether he's fit enough for this first up assignment is the unknown, but I want to back the best horse in the race, and I do think that is Tom Kitten. So I'll take the $6 here, but I think this is more of a watch and look race. I think it's going to be a strong form reference heading towards the Hobartville and the Randwick Guineas as well.
Yeah, I agree, Raymond. There are certainly some quality horses in this race, but I think Moravia, who's got form around some very good horses, was beaten a lip by Cylinder in the run to the Rose, a first up winner, and a good price, carrying 56 kilos as opposed to, say, the 60 that Griff and Tom Kitten are carrying. So I think it's $5 on Ladbrokes. So I'm going to go with Moravia here. Mitho?
Yeah, I'm with Rayman here. I was going to say exactly those words, and I'm not planning on making this series about agreeing with Rayman, but just first up, I am with you. I think that Tom Kitten is the only star. Well, he's not a star yet, but I think he's the horse that has the potential to be a star, and I'm happy to stick with him. Caulfield Guineas, we're going to learn a lot. It's going to be a really interesting race. We'll learn about the Caulfield Guineas. Does Griff come back? You know, there's been half, not a pot, but a bit of, you know, what was the Caulfield Guineas? Was it a good race? Are they good horses? Did he just beat a mediocre field? There's been a bit of that discussion. I'm not necessarily in that camp, but we'll find out with Griff returning. I'm going to just stick with the horse that I reckon is a bona fide star in the making, Tom Kitten.
Yeah, well, if it's called Tom Knackerbags, you wouldn't even give it a mention. It's got a little ringy, pretty name to it. You just all want to jump on
the
bandwagon.
Have you seen the horse? Have you seen it with a big, bold horse that looks like he's just going to get better and better the older he gets? You go and look at him, Pete. He's not.
He won the Spring Champion Stakes in a canter as well.
I'm with Griff. I'm with Griff. Listen, well, Tom Kitten did beat him.
He can be.
Tom Kitten beat him a length and a half in the up and coming back in the spring, early spring. So listen, I think he's a good horse, Tom Kitten. I'm just taking the piss there, but I think he's getting him and Tom Melbourne mixed up myself.
well, they wouldn't be backing Tom Melbourne. I'll give you the red hot tip.
I think Griff's a horse to beat. He's Caulfield Guineas winner, highest rated horse in the race. Malum's gone up to ride him. I think he gets the job done. I think he'll prove that the Guineas win certainly wasn't a fluke. I think he's too classy for him. His work on Tuesday morning, I think it was, I saw the vision of him at Caulfield, looked very sharp. He's obviously travelled up there this week and should get the job done.
Okay, let's head to Melbourne now to Caulfield, the Heath. And the Blue Diamond Preludes are on this Saturday. Let's start with the Colts and Geldings Prelude. Rayman, it's race 6 on the program. What does the market look like for it?
Dominated by Team Snowden this race. High Octane is the favourite, $2.70 from its stable mate Bodyguard, who's $2.90. Stokesy has got Stay Focused. A lot of hype around this horse. It's $4.50. And then there's other horses that's a double figure odds. But I was pretty impressed with what High Octane did do in the Blue Diamond preview. It was challenged by its stable mate Holmes at Court, but I really liked his last 100 metres High Octane. I think that was the sign that this horse will be better over further and with a bit more seasoning. So I'm happy to back the favourite here, High Octane. I think he's going to be very tough to beat. And I think it's done its shape up to be a really strong addition of the Blue Diamond. I really like this two-year-old crop. There's been a lot of impressive performances already.
There has been. I always wonder about the early markets when it gets that price gets snapped up for a syndicated horse, especially one like Stay Focused, Bennett Racing. It's going to have a lot of owners. Everyone's keen to back their horse as soon as the markets go up. So I was kind of disregarding that early move for Stay Focused. But I do think High Octane's the one to beat too. That turn of foot it showed last start was very, very impressive. And I think getting out to 1,200 metres, although you sometimes got to be wary over the horse that flies home over one distance and it may not go the trip in the next, I think 1,200 will be absolutely perfect. And I want to be with High Octane in this one. The Snowdens, as we often say, they do know how to train a two-year-old.
They do. They're the best in the business at it, really. But I'm with Stay Focused. I hear your point there, Rog. But at the same time, these races are a bit like I was banging on earlier about our two-year-old flyer that won at Sandown yesterday. Yeah, Stay Focused. It's gone off Broadway to Geelong, to that standalone meeting at Geelong. And it was a good race. And I think you'll find that the form out of those two-year-old races, because there just aren't many of them. So anyone who thinks they've got a Blue Diamond horse at the moment is heading to whatever race they can scramble into to try and earn enough prize money to get there. So I've sometimes reckoned that form of the Blue Diamond previews, and well, this is a prelude, gets elevated unnecessarily. And these other races slipped through the cracks at provincial venues like Geelong and even Sandown midweek yesterday. So on that basis, I'm going to stick with Stay Focused at the 450. I don't mind that as a price either. You can back it each way, and good luck to Team Bennett.
You'd like to have the inside note here on the jockey merry-go-round. We've had obviously Mark Zara won on High Octane the other day. He rides Bodyguard. Craig Williams won Bodyguard. Rode Bodyguard in the Maribyrnong on plate, and he rides Pieris for Robbie Lang. And B Shin's jumped on High Octane. So, did Zara have a selection? Did he have a choice? Or has he got the ride on High Octane if he wants it and he's just trying out Bodyguard as an opposition? What are we thinking here?
I would reckon that Mark Zara would have the pick of the crop, wouldn't he? The way he's riding at the moment. I mean, he's number one seed, isn't he, Pete?
Would it have anything to do with the ownership groups of either horse, like the China Horse Club and the green colours remind me?
Harren Blood.
James Harren.
Harren Blood. So would that have something to do with it, the potential move?
Yeah, and then you got the leading rider in Damien Lane, who's riding up an absolute storm. He's riding the first start exceeding Cell Cult cardiologist for Big Price. And he does a bit of riding for Harren Crew as well. So It makes it a very interesting affair here. And then, obviously, Philip Stokes will Stay Focused. Like Mitho said, he was very good at Geelong, and I saw him trial here a couple of weeks back at Pakenham, and he looked very good and sharp. Is it too early to throw a pineapple in?
Yeah, it is.
These two-year-old races, they're just fraught with danger. Well, I've just got to go with Zara on Bodyguard. If he had the choice, I'm thinking he's got the form line up there. But, Pieris, he trialled very well at Cranbourne on Monday morning, the Robbie Lang galloper. I would think any one of the 10 of them are a chance, to be honest. Wolfgang looked good before he went to the Gold Coast and got lost. But I'll stick with Zara and Bodyguard. He probably sits back from gate 9 and see if he storms over the top of them.
And Pieris, 50-1, in from $81, as Rayman said. So there is value there if you want to take that trial and have a little wager. Let's go to the fillies. And
50-1 in the what?
50-1 in this race on Saturday, Pyrrhus.
Pyrrhus?
Yep. $81 into $51 on Saturday. It's Craig Williams jumping on there. So
and beat a very promising colt in Kirk for the Rosemont Stud Alliance in that trial on Monday as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Just thought I'd throw that in there for Bitha.
Yeah, we've just going gently, aren't we, Pete? Back to the paddock and next time round, you beauty.
Short price favourite in the Phillies. Rayman, the Hayes camp look like they've got a likely type here.
Yeah, I think this is an easier race to unpack from a punting standpoint. I think Bold Bastille was my early selection to win the Golden Slipper before we saw the emergence of Storm Boy. But I was super impressed with what Bold Bastille did at the Valley on Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day in the English race. Was super, super impressive. Ran really good time for a horse on debut as well. And I do think so far we've seen that it does feel like the Colts and Geldings do have a bit of an edge over the fillies, at least in Melbourne at the moment. So I think Bold Bastille is one of the best bets of the day. I think it's going to be very, very tough to beat. More than happy to lock in the $2.30 currently available with Ladbrokes.
Can you give us a market, though, over the rest of them, or are you just pretty happy to just give us the favourite?
The rest of them, it's basically Bold Bastille, $2.30, and you're getting you can make your own price the rest. The second favourite is at $8. So this market, well and truly dominated by Bold Bastille.
Yeah, and the markets have changed. Well, Tom, people's listening to this. Anyway, Bold Bastille, as Rayman said, smoked their rivals on debut in last October. Three-length winner. I don't know how strong that race was, but, geez, it was an impressive win. So the breeding's good. Dominant win. Market singled her out. I'm heading that way with a little bit of confidence, actually, given it's a two-year-old race. So Bold Bastille for me, $2.30. Thank you very much.
We get a good look at this brute horse from South Australia here, which deserves mention. I'm not sure I'm going to be brave enough to tip it, but... Kuro Yanagi is.
I was going to say brave enough to tip it or brave enough to actually try and pronounce it.
No. Yeah, Kuro Yanagi is a written tycoon filly that Will Clark and Nick O'Shea train, and there was a massive spruik on this, and it won as you like on debut in Adelaide, albeit beating up on probably inferior horses to the ones we're seeing here, but did it in pretty good style. Started $1.30, if you don't mind, and did it in a jog trot. So there was talk that they just wanted to get that run into the horse for experience before coming to Melbourne and tackling the big boys and big girls. Big watch here. Blake Shin booked a ride. Massive watch. I suppose then if you wanted to sort of draw a bit of a line through Moods' theory on the Colts division with the jockeys, the merry-go-round is interesting because Will Clarkin's racing manager is Jamie Carr's jockey manager, and you would have thought that she might have had a bit of a look at this horse to ride, but she's sticking with Clint McDonald's horse, who's also very difficult to name, Hayasugi, who won very nicely first time out after getting rolled in that... race on Cox Plate Day, so Ladbrokes Cox Plate Day. So interesting race. So I don't reckon it's just a one horse affair. And we'll watch with interest the interstater. I'll back it each way, I reckon.
Yeah, and Jamie Carr did go over to Adelaide and troll that Kaoragi or Nagi or whatever his name is. And she has stuck with Hayasugi, as you said. So listen, I don't know much about these. I think we're guessing. Bold Bastille, it looked good at the Valley. Was it favoured by the bias that day? Hayasugi was quite green and roaring behind it, but it had three lengths to make up. I thought Matisse was good the other day in the preview, but obviously it's drawn gate 16. One turn depends on tempo. How's Caulfield going to play? Is it going to be a ridiculous situation like it was last Saturday when it was a disgrace on a stakes racing day with the rail out 9. I know it's back in. Hopefully it plays a lot more even. So I'm with the toppy favourite Bold Bastille for the sake of not putting a pineapple on the table again.
Yeah, save your fruit for further down the track. I'll tell you what I feel for, boys, and that's Matt Hill. If Hayasugi and Kuro Yanagi go to the line together in the last sort of 100 and just going neck and neck toward the line, that's going to be a mouthful for Matt. But if anyone can do it, he can do it. The CF4 Stakes is the Group 1 race, the feature race on the program at Caulfield. Now, when Zipping won the Sandown Classic 4 years in a row, they renamed it the Zipping Classic. So I want to know after... Peter Moody's 5 horse stakes in 6 years, why it's not called the Peter Moody Stakes. But maybe that's a conversation for another day. Rayman, what
who was
the market? I'd imagine an administrator, because that seems to be what most races are named after these days. So,
because we go to the races to barrack for the administrators, don't we?
Absolutely, they play a great part. So the administrator stakes, Rayman, give us a market here.
Mr. Brightside is the favourite. You're getting $1.95. It wouldn't be he was short on that early in the week before the full field came out. So the race came up a little bit stronger than the initial nomination suggested. Pride of Jenny, who was probably the revelation of the Melbourne Cup Carnival, peeled off two Group 1 wins, is $6.50. V8, the three-year-old. We know the three-year-olds have a good record in the CFO. It's $6.50 as well. Pericles, $7. A Tissue, another Group 1 winner during the Melbourne Cup Carnival, is $14. Then you've got the track and distance specialist Ayrton there at $18, coming off a win a couple of weeks ago at Crawford as well. No doubt Mr. Brightside's the horse to beat here. I'm probably surprised you're getting $1.95. I did think he'd be a start a little bit shorter than that, but he's definitely deserving of that status as the clear favourite. We know he runs well fresh. 14, he's can run well over just about any distance range, but I think maybe 1,400 metres is his best trip. He's undefeated at this track and distance. He's got a very good record at Caulfield. So clearly the horse to beat. The horse that really interests me, and I'll be having something small at the $7, is Pericles. Always been of the opinion that this horse has a big race in him. I think he would have won the Epsom Handicap in the spring, but had injury issues. They had to sort of nurse him back to full health. Then he ran a really good second behind in the Golden Eagle. And I still think he has the upside to improve. So he's the clear danger for mine, drawn ideally barrier 5 with Mark Zara in the saddle. I want to see Pride of Jenny do it again. She was a revelation during that Melbourne Cup Carnival, but her form before that is not up to a race of this quality. So I'll be interested to see how they ride her if they do persist with those aggressive tactics, but I'm happy to take her on, and I'm happy to take on V8 as well. I still am a little iffy over that Caulfield Guineas form, and that was a pretty soft Australia Stakes that he won the other day.
Did you say you think Brightside's best trip is 1,400 right now?
Yeah, but I've said he's very good over just about every trip, but you look at his record over 1,400 metres. He's 3 from 3 at Caulfield. He's barely missed a placing over this distance range. He's obviously outstanding at a mile, and he can get 2,000 metres, but I think if you wanted him at his very, very best, I'd be having him at 1,400 metres.
Okay, agreed.
Just shows how good the horse is, though, Rog. He's a two-time Doncaster winner, and he's won an all-star mile. Like, he's an absolute ripper.
Exactly. Yeah, I think he's the best miler in the country. But then, yeah, you make a solid point. Just so everyone is across this, Charles F. Orr died in 1931, aged 85 years, and he was the chairman of directors of Duke and Orr's Amalgamated Dry Dog Limited. So I don't know whether he can continually justify having a race of this prestige named after him. And I want to start a campaign. Maybe our Moody on the Mic listeners can get on board. That this race should be renamed to Peter Moody Stakes.
So he died at the age of 85.
100 years ago, Neil.
Farlap did.
Yes, he died. Yes, exactly. So I think it might be time. I think they might want to look at that. In the meantime, very handy race. A lot of winning form in this CFO Stakes on Saturday. Some better than others. Brightside's still the class, as we mentioned. Bob Head goes the other way, and he's a Cox Plate winner. Jenny doesn't set it a lot. You know, he's probably got the champion's mile as well. But that did happen. And as Moose always says, if your auntie had balls, she'd be your uncle. So, look, I think Brightside bounces back for the first up win here. 1,400 Caulfield suits him down to the ground. He's a star. It would be interesting if Jenny just goes and sets him a light up front again. But Brightside for me.
You talk about horses that are suited... you know, Brightside, whether it's 1,400, 1,600 or further for him. I tell you one horse that it is indisputable that this track and course suits, and that's Ayrton. And I love his odds, and I love the way he shapes for this after that victory last start. He might be back, this horse, and if he's back to his best with a track and distance record of 6 starts for 5 wins, I want to have something on him each way at the $18. Jamie Carr up. John O.K. He can balance up, and he'll make his run when he needs to get into the outside. If it's mad on speed, maybe not. But, I like him at those odds. Anyway, he'll be going in everything I do on Saturday.
I think Brightside wins, doesn't he? He's got to be off his top, I would have thought, for the others to be able to beat him. It'll be run along at a solid tempo. Pride of Jenny and Buffalo River up forward should make it a good gallop. Brightside just gets a nice run just behind them. too good this track and trip if he's anywhere near his top.
Launch your punting plan with the Ladbrokes app. Loaded with the best racing features, including Bet Ticker. See where the big bets land in real time. Yard Comment, giving you the on-course insight straight from the parade ring. And Black Book, add your favourite runners and get notified before they race. Ladbrokes.
What's gambling really costing you? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.
It's what you've been waiting 2 months for. It is the return of the best bet segment, no doubt about it. Rain Man, take the new ball for 2024.
Before Moods chimes in, I will acknowledge that once again, for the second season of Moody on the Mic in a row, Moods did lead us when it came to best bets results. He's on absolute fire. The great man. I once again ran second. Roger once again ran third. Mytho was an even more distant fourth than he was the season prior. So I think if Mytho was a racehorse on his tipping, they would probably need to get a vet certificate to allow him to go round for another season. But we will give him that opportunity, Mytho. And
I'd be definitely. I'd definitely be entered for the next English digital sale. I reckon.
And I think you'd go pretty cheap as well. But we're going to give you another crack this season. I'm starting off with a favourite. Moods will have a crack at me for tipping a short price favourite. But I think this horse is going to be very tough to beat. Caulfield, race 8, number 4, as Asphora in the Rubicon Stakes. You can probably make an argument as Asphora in Melbourne. You take out the sort of the Everest horses. But she was very unlucky not to win a Group 1 during the Spring Carnival. That.
You tipped the odds on favourite. Like, don't justify it.
Well, it's not odds on, Mytho. You're getting $2.35, so that's fine. I tip winners, you don't. So please just give me a couple of minutes here. You've got form around Imperatrice. When Imperatrice wasn't there, she was beating up similar horses to this. Won the race, the McCafe Sprint over this track and distance during the spring by 3 lengths. Absolutely flogged on Uncommon James. And she's clearly the class horse in this race. So my clear best bet, she should be odds on, but she's not. Caulfield, race 8, number 4, as Asphora.
I think your criticism of Rayman here is completely unjust. My best bet is race 8, number 4, at Caulfield, as Asphora. She's on a Group 1 park yet again. She loves Caulfield. Everything that Rayman just said. But yes, I have singled out Henry Dwyer's filly, and I've actually been on the text with Henry this morning because I was teeing him up for the Saturday Contenders show on racing.com on Saturday morning. Tune in. 8:30 to 9:30. But yes, Asphora for me as well. Mytho, give us a loser.
Well, I'm going to make it interesting because the punters out there are bored shitless at this point in time hearing you two bozos tip a $2.30 pop at Caulfield that any bloody blind Freddy can find. So I'm gonna give you a little one off Broadway. We're going to Colac on Friday in the Colac Cup, the time-honoured Colac Cup. And guess what? I'm going to be on track to collect the Colac Cup in the red colours. And looking forward to Glitter and Gold getting out the back. Lindsay Smith, he cannot get her to jump out and take a position. She's an absolute mole for it. She just flops out of the gates, doesn't want to partake early, and then storms home at the end. And that's what she'll do in the Colac Cup. She'll give us a good old yell and a scream, and we're going to have a beer in every pub between Colac and Geelong on the way back home. Can't wait for tomorrow. It's going to be a beauty. So get on Glitter and Gold and enjoy the fun. I've got a few runners, though, Moods, over the weekend with you. So you can take all the listeners through those and maybe we can find a multi in there.
Well, thank God for everyone in Geelong that there's only one pub at Mount Moriac between Colac and Geelong. And you don't need any more than one drink to be a pest and annoy every bastard. The little boutique stable back into operation this weekend. We've had a pretty lean summer, punters. We've probably been blessed that the show hasn't been on over summer. Back to form yesterday with a midweek winner at Sandown, but we don't count them, do we, Mytho, midweek winners? But
Yesterday we do.
Colac Friday, I'm joining Mytho at Colac. Oh, well, my horses are. I won't be making the trip.
Oh, you're not no man of the people for you?
No, not Colac on a Friday. Friday, I'm a man of the people in South Belgrave. Race 1, horse 3, rock a bottle. Be disappointed if he's not in the mix. Certainly an excellent each-way chance. And race 5, horse 5, I Am Caviar. If he does make the trip down the highway, it's a race he should be winning. He's also an emergency at Moonee Valley, the same horse, I Am Caviar, race 7, horse 13, where I think if he gains a start there from the good draw, we'll probably run him there and he'll be a good each-way hope. So speaking of Anthony's runners, Race 4, number 3, Brereton at Moonee Valley tomorrow evening. He returns from a spell in a 3-year-old nut benchmark race, 955 metres. Unfortunately, he'll need a new jockey. His jockey, Luke Nolan, was injured at track work this morning, so not sure who'll take the ride there yet. I'm sure Mitho will afford me some advice and find someone there that he wants to polish off, but we'll find a rider for Brereton. Listen, he probably comes in with an each-way chance, probably slightly short of his best. Another one of Mitho's called Moesha in the last will probably be withdrawn and reserved after the breeder and owner suggested to me they'd probably like to have a crack at a stakes race on the Saturday. So we'll probably go down that path.
Good to see you listening.
Move across to Caulfield Saturday, race 2, horse 9, Divine Purpose. She's been racing very consistently this mare. I'm just not totally convinced she genuinely stays. I think she's been favourite the last three or four starts. Been a little bit of a punter's headache. I'm a little bit guarded. She's had the preparation for 2400. Will she see the trip out? Not quite sure, but she probably won't be far away by the same token, so probably an each-way hope, but I wouldn't fall into the shorts if she does come up short. Race 10, number 11, Moesha, the one of Mitho's I was just talking about. I didn't put up much of a fight because I thought this filly could go to Caulfield and run well. That time of the day, as long as it's not a disadvantage to be on the inside, she should be able to park up just behind the speed, and I think she's a very good each-way chance. And Yarra Valley on Saturday. Punters, race 1, horse 11, Sensical. This time last year, she was placed in the Blue Diamond Prelude. 12 months down the track and a couple of runs later, we're still chasing a maiden. We're off to Yarra Valley for a kill. Rain Man, what do you got for us? Race 1, number 11, Yarra Valley. You got a price there for us?
No markets yet, Moods, but I'd be surprised if we get better than even money for Sensical. It looks well placed by the trainer.
Good. So, listen, even money, hit black figures at Yarra Valley, race 1, number 11, Sensical. I think you should be betting and winning. So I would suggest she's probably my best for the weekend, Sensical. Race 1, number 11 at Yarra Valley. Not a lot of odds. We've all been pretty skinny on the kickoff here, except Mitho's put his nads on the line. But good luck, good punting. Let's hope we can all find some form and look forward to talking to you next week, team. And let fast horses run fast.
Ladbrokes.